Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Gentlemen, good morning. I'm great. And I want to commend Joe on the Rex rant just now, because I think it was spot on. I've never been at an event like I was at the draft last week where the discourse on the television was so totally and completely separate and different than what was going on backstage. Every pick, it was like, I can't believe Shador's not been drafted yet on national television. And backstage, everybody was sitting there thinking, I don't see a path for him to get drafted until, like, X pick. And I think there was a real disservice done here because, number one, he was not in the running to be the number one pick, at least within, like, the last 6 weeks leading up to the draft. He was not really in the running to be in the top five. I'm not sure he's in the running to be in the top 10. He was a bottom of the first round, maybe second round pick, and there were only so many landing spots in that place. And then once he didn't land at one of those places – and the noise, frankly, went up as much as it did. Joe, you're exactly right. Then the calculus comes in. Hey, if he's not going to be our starter, do we want to invite every media network in the Western Hemisphere into our training facility for off-season workouts and training camp to talk about Shador Sanders and why he should be our quarterback? And I think most teams decided that was too much baggage to bring on for that role. And so that's why you see the slide all the way into the fifth round. But this, to me, is one of the most overblown stories we've ever seen in sports.
Steve, I thought Mel Kiper's going to fight somebody this weekend. He's fired up out there.
I thought he was going to fight Reese Davis.
Yeah.
And that's insane, because Reese Davis is one of the most level-headed people you will find in the media. And even he had had enough of the Mel Kiper show when it came to Shador Sanders.
So, Steve, Cam Ward to the Titans, the worst-kept secret in America over the last few weeks. Now that he's here, what do you make of the situation he's walking into, the offense, where things currently stand with the roster? What's your view on kind of the situation that Cam Ward now finds himself in?
Well, he's not walking into a great roster, that's for sure, Robbie. But I do think it's a good situation in the sense that I think the Titans are all in on what they're doing right now. Now, will that last beyond this season, or how long it will go? I don't know. But at least for right now, he's got a coach that is trying to build an offense for him. They're trying to put people around him offensively, whether that be up front to block for him, bringing in three wide receivers in the draft, adding a veteran like Tyler Lockett to go along with Calvin Ridley, getting another pass catcher like Gunnar Helm at tight end. They're trying to find guys that can make his job easier for him. And I just like his demeanor. I'm not sure if he's the best quarterback prospect in recent memory. In fact, I'm pretty sure he's not. But he's a good quarterback that's gotten better every year that he's played, at least at the college level. Now he goes up another step, and he just seems to have the right mindset. I talked to him before the draft in Green Bay. I talked to him immediately after he was drafted in Green Bay, and you did not notice a real difference. Yes, there was a grateful element and an excited element about the biggest night of his life. But throughout the entire time, you just saw a guy that was focused on playing ball. He wants to be known for being a quarterback. He wants to be known for being a great teammate. He wants to be known for winning games in the National Football League. That's what the Titans want, and that's what Cam Ward wants to be. And I think that is a very good cultural fit.
Yeah, and I've been nothing but impressed with him too, Steve, in terms of, you know, the way he's gone about his business, and obviously the talent is there. We're going to see if he can put it all together. When it comes to that, how do you look at Brian Callahan and how the Titans should view him? I mean, I think we all assume, or at least I know we do on this show, that if there's a whoever is next on the chopping block, it's probably Brian Callahan. If things go poorly this year, I guess you just never know how to predict what Amy Adams Strunk will do. But do you think the Titans do and should look at this like Brian Callahan next 2 years, work with him, unless it's a complete disaster, and not have to do, you know, what the Bears just did with Caleb Williams, which might work out for them, but still not ideal to immediately switch things up on a rookie QB.
Yeah, well, history tells you, Joe, that what the Bears just did is the more likely scenario for a team that drafts number one overall. Only, like, in the last 15 years or something like that, only, I think, two coaches that have drafted number one overall have survived through the following season. And one of those is Zach Taylor with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. So it shows the importance of getting that pick right. And so I think the big thing that you have to look at this year is, what is Cam Ward's level of improvement? What is his level of performance this year? Because if he looks like the guy, if you get into November and December of this coming year, no matter what the record is, if the Titans are competitive and Cam Ward looks like the franchise quarterback that they believe he is, I think Brian Callahan will get another shot to come back and continue to grow that and grow this franchise. If he doesn't, or if he struggles, or heaven forbid, he's not in the lineup in November and December, I think he's probably out. It's that important of a season for Brian Callahan. As much as they liked him a year ago, that was not a good season. And some of it goes on the coaching staff for how they manage personalities, how they manage the team, the lack of development throughout the season. Some of that comes right back to the staff, and the buck ultimately stops with Brian Callahan. And so, while I don't think his seat is hot yet, just the reality is you don't get that long in this league. And if he has a second straight stinker of a season, he's going to be in trouble at the end of it. And ultimately, I think what you saw last year, guys, is going into the season, they thought Will Levis could be the guy at quarterback. And they thought Brian Callahan was the right guy to get him there. That obviously didn't happen. And so at the end of the season, the calculus was, all right, Will wasn't the guy after all. We still think Brian can get there, but we don't know anymore. And so Will is now the odd man out of the rotation, though he is still on the roster. That's somewhat interesting as well. But now when Cam comes in, it's really the pressure on Callahan and the staff to get the most out of Cam Ward. If they do it, they'll say, look, okay, we were right in the first place about our evaluation of this young, up-and-coming, offensive-minded head coach. If he can't do it, he's going to be the next guy on the chopping block.
So, Steve, Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi spoke yesterday, and, you know, it obviously we've talked a lot about the structure and the way things are set up over there. It's very interesting. What do you make of what they've done to this point in the offseason with the roster and the approach that they're trying to take here with bringing in guys that have for the most part shown a history of being pretty healthy and being durable in this league, and kind of the patient approach that Chad Brinker keeps trotting out there that I still have my questions as to whether or not the owner will actually follow through with?
Yeah, great question about the owner there at the end. I think when I look at the offseason, while you can't give them a final grade because you're going to have to see how these guys actually pan out on the field to do that, I was really impressed at how they executed their spoken plan. We have struggled over the last few years to decipher the messaging of what the plan actually has been with the hierarchy over there that you mentioned. I think from the moment Mike Borgonzi was brought in as general manager, they said a couple things. They said, we're not going to do the big splashes in free agency this year. We're going to find guys that fit our culture and fit certain needs where we have to have a veteran presence. And then when they got into the draft, they obviously had certain needs at positions. But the other thing that they spoke about was, we really need to increase our draft capital. We need more assets for these drafts. They talked about getting 30 picks over 3 years and 12 picks in the top three rounds. And what did they end up doing over the weekend, guys? They went from having 5 draft picks in this draft last weekend at the beginning of last season to picking 9 guys last weekend, 6 of them in the top 4 rounds. They picked up a 3rd-round pick with that trade on Friday night, so they got 3 in the first 2 days after only having 2. They added a pick even within the weekend, and they didn't have to give up anything for it. It was a straight pick swap as they moved up into the 4th round to get Alec Iomaner. And it just – I was really impressed with how they went about their business in this offseason. Now, was it good enough? Did they turn the roster from one of the worst in the league to a top 10 roster, a, a playoff contender. I'm not sure they did that. But in terms of what they were trying to do, the pieces they needed to acquire just to upgrade the roster, and the way they executed their draft plan and offseason plan, I think they did a really good job.
Now, I will say that the lofty top 100 pick bar that Chad Brinker set probably only happens if they trade the number one pick. I mean, we'll see what happens in future years. And obviously, they had a really good offer from the Giants. But if you believe in Cam Ward that much, then you do what they did. And that, you touched on it, Steve. I was going to ask you, in particular, this draft. I've warmed to the idea of, for example, like a Winston from Penn State. You know, if he can get back healthy, you watch him, you read about him, you know, that could end up being a really good value pick. But how many of these guys in this draft do you think are going to be, you know, impact players for this team next season?
That is a really good question. And I don't know if they drafted them all, Joe, with that exactly in mind, because I do think at least the guys drafting, more so than the head coach, believe that they do have the element of time a bit as they try to build this and don't have to take an immediate shortcut. So to some degree, I think they're okay with having guys that need to be developed within their prospects and within the draft picks that they just got. But when you look at it, I don't see any way Cam Ward's not the starter at the beginning of the season. So he's going to have the opportunity to not just win the job, but ultimately lose the job or cement himself in that place. I think Oluwafemi Oladejo, when you get drafted in the second round on a team that just got rid of arguably its best pass rusher in Harold Landry, you're going to have to play. And so he's a bit of a project. He's only played half a season basically on the edge, but he's going to have to play next year. And we'll find out pretty quickly if there is promise in that pick or if this really is a long-term project. I really like the Kevin Winston pick because he is a guy that, if healthy and right, I think can be an immediate impact player in the NFL. He would have been a borderline first-round pick or at the very top of the second round if he never got hurt. And so I think, kind of like the Titans found in Jeffrey Simmons back in 2019, they got a guy at a position in the draft that they would have never been able to get him if it wasn't for the injury. So I think there's really good value there. And then all those pass catchers in the fourth round, you're going to see them on the field. Now, what the role is going to be exactly, that's going to have to work itself out in the offseason. But Chimere DK, with the size and the speed, he's going to have to find a way onto the field. Gunnar Helm is going to have to be part of the pass catching rotation at tight end. And I think long term, he can be the tight end for this franchise. And then you talk about I mean, he's a guy that could be an elite weapon in this league. Consistency is a concern, but if he can just put it all together, you've got a guy who can be a really good wide receiver with all the traits that you're looking for. And so I think those six picks in the top four rounds all give themselves opportunity to really factor in what the Titans are doing this year. The other guys, I think, are very specific roles. Slater's a backup offensive lineman that can play every position. That's valuable on an O-line that doesn't have much depth right now. And then I think Harris is going to be a key special teams player immediately and probably be up and in that mix to be a fourth or a fifth cornerback. And Mullings, he's a very specific back that gives you the change of pace and short yardage or maybe end game as you're running out the clock compared to a Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. We'll see how those guys grow into it. But that's kind of the way I look at it. I see the top six guys or the top fourth round guys as all guys that should have roles on this team next year, and then the bottom guys that will be very specific into certain packages or certain situations that the team might use.
Steve, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Hey, it's always fun, guys. Have a good one.
Steve Lehman from News Channel 5, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what Steve had to say coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
A lot of these draft picks were captains, leaders on their team. Was that not by accident, I'm assuming? How much you're hoping they can help change the culture around here?
Yeah, I mean, like we said, those are the type of people we're trying to bring in here, high character people. You know, some of them were captains on teams, but that helps elevate the culture in here. When those people come in here and they work, there's a standard that we want to set here in this organization in terms of work ethic, accountability, you know, being a good teammate, and all those guys check the box there. And I think, you know, you look back to some of the free agents we brought in too. Like I said, if you keep on stacking those type of players in the locker room, that's going to change the culture.
That was Mike Borgonzi yesterday. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Appreciate Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 for being with us in the last segment. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Check in with Joseph, who has been waiting patiently. Joseph, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hi. Yes, I was calling. First off, I want to say I think a lot of what Steve had to say was spot on. I just disagree at the very beginning.
Cam Ward, the first round is the only round that I had an issue with personally.
Joseph, I think we lost you there for a second.
From Seattle, and we've got Calvin Ridley. They're 32 and 30 years old. I just think looking back at the Titans' history, when we had A.J. Brown, he can make a very mediocre quarterback look phenomenal. And even if you don't think Will Levis is the future, I think Travis Hunter could have been a superstar for the Titans for the next decade, 15 years potentially, if he only played one way. And I think not taking that opportunity, because next year is going to be another quarterback-heavy draft. So securing your future now for the next 10 years, you could get a quarterback next year. We didn't need a quarterback this year if we would have gotten a superstar.
Thanks for the call, Joseph. Appreciate it. I think, Joe, then it becomes to, like, one. It's one thing you brought over these options the other day. It's one thing to take Travis Hunter. Like, if they passed on Cam Ward this year, I probably would have said take the Giants draft haul that they were offering, not just take Travis Hunter at number one. That's just me. I know you probably disagree with that, but if they weren't going to take Cam Ward at number one, I would have said take the haul that the Giants offered, which would have meant you also don't end up with Travis Hunter, and you would have probably ended up with Abdul Carter. Joe's first mute of the day. This is a long mute.
I hate this. This new mute thing is really annoying with the thing in the middle, and I can't find it, and... Yeah. Now I've forgotten. Tell me what you just said, Robbie.
I said I would have taken the Giants draft haul. You boomer.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You know, I don't know. Have I declared that I would definitely take Hunter instead of the Giants draft haul?
I don't think you said that. You just love Travis Hunter. I know that.
That is a tough one, man. I think I might take the God, I don't know.
Oh, I think I'm gonna choose now. You gotta pick.
Okay,
one.
I'll go draft haul. As much as I love Travis Hunter, to me, like, it's like, then you're gonna have two high firsts next year to really do something with, and I'm already seeing the mocks. We will get into this week, Robbie. I'm already seeing all the mocks that have Arch Manning number one. Okay, we'll see, but regardless. And Kaharski's already declared next year's a better QB draft, even though all of the possible QBs in next year's first round have to make steps, in my mind, to make that come true. Steps that they can make. I would guess right now that next year's QB class will be better than this one. So you have two high firsts next year, and you add to this year's crop of picks. Yeah, I would have taken that just by a hair over Travis Hunter. But they took... door number three.
They did. They took door number three, and we'll see what that looks like on the Cam Ward front. Like, I agree with Steve from this standpoint of everything we've talked about this. The most important thing with Cam Ward is how he plays on the field, but he does have a lot of qualities, just like watching him interact with people and some of the things that he said that I think are important to being a good quarterback in this league. Like, I think, number one, he's got a ton of confidence, and I think that's a good thing. He's got an ability to connect with people, I think, pretty clearly, which also you need at the quarterback spot. Now, nobody's going to care about that if he comes out and score and throws, you know, 18 interceptions every year. I understand that. But I'm just saying there's a lot that I like about him that I think could be factors in him being a good quarterback in the National Football League. Ultimately, you got to put it together, like that mental and physical package. And I talked about his processing ability earlier, which I like, and hopefully that translates to the NFL level. But there's a lot about him kind of for some of that separate stuff that I think teams, and specifically the Titans, or were really impressed by, which is part of why he got drafted where he got drafted.
Right. Look, the What Are You Doings have had their day, and they have, I mean, they've got legit beef, but it's time to just join the Cam Dews. I mean, you may as well get excited about this guy. He's your guy, and I'm excited to watch it, and it absolutely could work out. If it all comes together, it could be really good.
615-737-1025.
You're welcome.
Our phone number is 615-737-1025. I'm not even going to address that. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans.
It's never going to stop.
Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. For a limited time, grab half off a $25 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz, is always about great service. Robert Nashville on the text line says, if we could have gotten the Giants haul they offered and still walked away with Abdul Carter, would have been a slam dunk win. Instead, next year in a quarterback-heavy draft, we're going to have teams fighting over our top three draft pick, and we can restock things that way, I guess. And that is a good point. I mean, if this season goes the way we think it might, which is the Titans, again, not being very good, you're going to have a high draft pick next year. And if teams are fighting over a quarterback, Joe, you can leverage that next year. So there are other pathways to land some more draft picks as they move forward here to try to restock this roster.
Yes. Now, imagine signing a veteran who you like to be your quarterback, investing wisely there, trading out, having these picks, then having two picks next year. So you have the season of the veteran quarterback. You see where it looks like, I mean, Darnold would have been my choice. See how it looks? You don't like it? You can address it. If you do, you've just gotten those picks, and now next year you can go nuts. I mean, that's fast-forwarding a rebuild. Now, again, that's also, you know, different thing with quarterback, and I know people love the top pick quarterback, and the unknown is undefeated, and everybody's excited, and Cam Ward might be great. Will Cam Ward have a season like Sam Darnold had last year, Robbie, ever in his career?
I mean, if I'm going by the odds would say no.
I know people are excited that I brought up Sam Darnold again, but I'm just saying that was way that way. Then all of a sudden, not you're also probably winning more this year, you know?
Right.
Like those steps get you, to me, to a better place. But look, I have no indication that the Titans even really considered him. So that's how it goes.
I'm looking at the win total. I brought up earlier in the show on FanDuel Sportsbook that the projected win totals for the Titans, the over-under is at 5.5. I wondered, like, is that the lowest in the league? And it is the lowest in the league. Now, it's tied with three other teams. Joe, can you guess the three teams at the moment on the FanDuel Sportsbook that are tied with the Titans at 5.5 wins as they're over-under?
Well, let's see. I mean, you always immediately go to the New York teams.
Ding, ding.
So I'm going to go both of them, and then how about the Browns are still, they're still too good on defense. How about the Saints?
It's the Browns.
Okay.
There you go.
It is the Browns.
The Saints, all I believe, right, are 6.5. So just okay. one bit of difference there. One win.
Speaking of the Saints, real quick, you know, Brugler's got the 2026 mock. And Brugler, I'll just give you the first one.
Oh, boy.
New Orleans Saints. Arch Manning, baby. Finally, the Saints draft a quarterback in the first round for the first time since Archie in 1971. Now, that is poetry.
Yeah, that is poetry. I mean, again, do people watch the way that family operates? He is not coming out next year. I will be very surprised if he comes out and declares for the NFL draft after this year.
I mean, I think if he's like so good that he's like a Heisman finalist, like he's great this year, maybe they say, okay, he's been in the, I mean, there is the injury thing here. Like he's done or whatever, they win it all. right, or something like that. I could see it. But I think definitely the presumption that he's definitely coming out is not smart. Also, man, I mean, I go on and on about this, but, you know, we saw Quinn Ewers play this year, right? I mean, we saw what happened to him in the draft. He did go at the very end to the Dolphins. You know, it's not like Arch Manning was, like, mandated by the family to sit this year. He could have started this year. And in the Georgia game where they got punked, Steve Sarkisian finally said, oh, my God, all right, Arch, let's give you a try. Because yeah. Quinn was – and then Arch, it was like, nope, we got to go back to Quinn. Again, he may end up being great. He may end up putting it all together. But this idea – and I'm going to – Brugler, anybody out there who's so convinced of it, like it's a sure thing, oh, to me, you're setting a kid up for failure in such a big way.
Well, although it's good – if that's what happens and he comes out next year and he's good enough in college football where – he's ready to go in the NFL. That's good for the Titans, right? Like, you need as many high-level quarterbacks. Number one, that's when we'll probably revisit the conversation, depending on what Cam Ward does. Like, if Ward's great this year, nobody's going to care. If he's not very good this year, you're going to get back into the, well, they should have waited a year. They should have waited. They should have taken the draft haul from the Giants and then drafted a quarterback this year. But let's say Cam Ward is pretty good, has his moments throughout the year, and you look at the Titans roster, and it's just like, well, yeah, this is just not very good. They win five games. And they're picking third or fourth in the draft next year. That's a good spot to be in if there's a lot of quarterbacks that are going to go high. You can trade back and get some picks that way. So I understand, like, we talked a lot about Brinker and what he talked about picking up those top 100 picks. And they didn't really do that this year. They did move back in the second round and pick up an extra one. But you're looking for more of that as you're trying to rebuild the roster. You can see a path where that could happen this year if things go the Titans' way.
Well, if things go the Titans' way, that they're total buns.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying draft-wise, if things go the way, like quarterbacks coming out, not the on-the-field results.
No doubt. But that's the thing. Yeah, it's both things. It's like I think there's a good chance of that. And, yes, I mean, the Titans obviously need to be high enough in the draft, which they have a great chance to
they
be.
They do.
So, by the way, so there are five QBs in this mock. And there is another one at number two. I'd like you to guess the number two.
The number two quarterback?
Yeah, the number two pick in the draft in the Brugler mock. And it's a quarterback. Who's your guess?
Drew Aller.
Lenoris Sellers, which someone on the text line is saying he'll be the number one pick if he comes out, book it.
He's really good.
I like him a lot. He's got – I mean, honestly, like right now – if you make me bet on like Sellers or Arch Manning, I'm putting everything on Sellers because I've seen him play and he's really good. I don't know if he's going to be number one pick good, but I could see it. Arch, I mean, everybody's going to put him number one and okay.
Where's he got Nico?
We'll see.
Nico's not number two?
He is not. He is not in. Mm. He does not appear in the first round.
Joey Aguilar, is he in there?
Probably not.
Okay.
Just checking. It's worth a question. Actually, okay. Since you say that, though, the fifth QB, you will never in your life guess. And I'll even tell you that he's a Big Ten quarterback. You'll never guess.
Oh.
Now, that could be Nico, but it's not Nico.
I was about to say, I'm trying to keep track of who's in the Big Ten now. Exactly. The Illinois kid, whose name currently eludes me.
Fernando Mendoza from Indiana.
You could have given me 1,000 guesses. Would have never got it.
Cal transfer. How about that as a first rounder? That's one
what
I did not see
coming.
What
do you know about Ray Finkel?
Yeah, I would have never guessed that one. But, hey, get all these – you need quarterbacks to have a great year in college football, and then if you're the Titans, use that as some trade currency. Or, I mean, I guess if that happens, Joe – regardless of what Cam Ward does this year, you know, barring him being some superstar, you know, we'll have Titans fans texting in next year. Oh, Cam's good, but let's go get Arch Manning. Cam can be the backup. Trade Cam.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Man, I mean, it's going to be fascinating. I think there's a lot of overprojecting there, but yeah, if you're a Titans fan, one thing next year in the college game is root for those QBs to be, I mean, Aller, you know, root for all those guys to be amazing. Put Nussmeier at LSU to have amazing seasons because it should help your team.
Got more thoughts to get to on the Titans front on our text line. We'll do that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Join 1025 The Game live on location as DVD broadcasts from Ascent Buildings hiring event tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Portland at 214 Fountainhead Road. Hiring fair runs from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and there will be food trucks during the lunch hour. More details at thegamenashville.com/events. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025, 1063, The Game. Joe got one texter on the text line, says, so if Callahan wins six games, he's not only doubled his win total, but he's also exceeded his season projection. How exciting for fans. A YouTube chatter that says, Titans over-under is 5.5, so if he hits six wins, is that a success for Callahan? Oh, could be an exciting season out there for Titans fans.
Well, look, I said this earlier this week. They could go 6-11, and Callahan could be in great shape. They go 6-11. Cam Ward looks great. It looks like he's got a QB developer developing him. Other parts of the team are continue to be buns. You know, the defense is bad, whatever. I mean, there's plenty of pathways to six wins, and Callahan's fine, in my opinion. I mean, if Cam Ward's really good and they don't win a lot, is that, I mean, to me, that's still a that's a positive development for the Tennessee Titans. I mean, it's so much of this is it's about Cam now.
Well, then it's also about how much do you believe that the owner will sit back and not meddle. That's the other thing. You know, we brought that up with Lehman. Like, you know, clearly Brinker and Borgonzi are taking the patient approach here, right? Like, they've talked about that. And that sounds good, especially given what's going on around here the last few years. Will that when that gets put in practice, how long does that last? Like, you know, somebody was joking about this earlier, but I mean, it's worth bringing up. Like, what happens if, you know, week seven goes by and they're, you know, 2-5 and they, you know, Vrabel comes in here and they just get blasted by the Patriots? What happens at that point? I don't know. Like,
whole organization's fired.
Yeah. Just like, it's one thing to be patient in April.
The office is empty the next day.
Right. Like, it's one thing to be patient in April, but I've reached the point with Amy Adams Strunk that I need to see her, like, I need to see her follow through with this before I totally buy into it, right? I mean, there's just been so much turnover and so much, you know, she's in on Vrabel, and then she's very quickly out on Vrabel. She's in on J-Rob, she's out on J-Rod. She's all in on Ram, and then she's very quickly all out on Ram. Like, I've seen too much of that over the last few years to be totally convinced that now all of a sudden she's just going to throw her hands back and be like, all right, you guys got all the time in the world. We'll see you here in 2 or 3 years and see if you guys are any good.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing. How does she look at you know, like, to me, it's got to be at this point, now that we're close enough to it. I think we were not close enough to it, you know, a couple of years ago, people were talking about this stuff. But now, I think you want a star QB heading into your new stadium. Now, it doesn't mean that another coach couldn't have success with Cam Ward. But if Brian Callahan does have success with him on an individual basis, does that not outweigh a bad win-loss record when we all know this team is terrible? It should, I think.
I think you've got to change your viewpoint on how you're judging Brian Callahan. Like, look, full disclosure, I did not love the idea of moving on from Rand Carthon and leaving Brian Callahan in place after last year. I thought you should have just ripped the Band-Aid off, and if you were going to fire Carthon, you should have just gone ahead and fired Callahan and brought in the next regime together. They didn't do that, so it is what it is. Having said that, like, now that you've drafted the quarterback, like, that's got to change how you view this, I think. Like, it's not just as simple as wins and losses. Unless you're convinced at the end of next season that Callahan just doesn't know what he's doing, which if you are, you have to make a move at that point. But if you're not, and Cam Ward's making progress, the last thing you want to do is just pull a ripcord out from under him and totally start things over again with a new system, unless you have to.
Yes, but any skepticism that they will look at it the other way is very warranted. By the way, a texter says half of Vrabel's team will be on IR by week 5. I can't wait till Vrabel hate week, man. Vrabel hate week is going to be fun around here.
I mean, it's going to be fun. I will say, like, you know, I think the schedule release and like the hype around it in the NFL is one of the dumber things in sports. Like, it always drives me nuts. It's like, just put the freaking schedule out there and let's go. I am interested to see when the Titans play the Patriots. I'm pulling for season opener. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm pulling for season opener.
That has to be. I mean, the Titans are probably going to get like one primetime game. I hope it's more than just a Thursday, but like, if they, whatever primetime game they get, that has to be it, right?
I hope so. Don't subject us to, you know,
all of the league.
Titans, Colts, and Daniel Jones running around out there on primetime. Country doesn't need that.
If the entire league has to watch the Titans play, let it be against Vrabel.
I agree. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Hope everybody has a great rest of their day. Chasing Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.